And so I want to talk about the realities of freedom as we think about commencement and going forward with our lives. When I graduated high school, it was one of the best days of my life. I was almost an adult. I knew that I was going to college in the fall. All I could think about was the freedom I was going to have. I would finally be free from the control and oversight of my parents. I could go to bed when I wanted to and sleep as much as I desired. I knew that I would be free to go where I wanted to go and to try whatever I wanted to try. I was so glad to finally be free. There would be no one to tell me what to do and what not to do. I could go to class if I wanted to go, or skip class if I wanted to. I could stay out as late as I wanted and not have to worry about a curfew. There would be no one to give out a punishment for doing the wrong thing. All I could think about was freedom. When I got to college, however, I learned that freedom placed the responsibility for my life right in my hands. It was up to me to decide what I was going to do and how I was going to live. And thank God, I had the desire and presence of mind to make some good choices. I decided that I needed to put in the time and effort if I wanted to succeed. So my message to our graduates is a message about freedom. Whether you've graduated high school, college, or graduate school, you still have some decisions to make. Sure, graduation brings freedom, freedom from parents, freedom from teachers, freedom from schedules, freedom from the expectations of others. You still have to decide what you're going to do with that freedom. You have to decide what you're going to do next. And that's part of the message in our text. Jesus has a conversation with his followers about discipleship, what it means to truly follow Jesus. And Jesus teaches basically that discipleship means obedience. It means doing what Jesus requires. All right. Jesus teaches that confession, what we believe about Christ, leads to obedience, how to live like Christ. In effect, Jesus teaches a lesson about character. If the disciples truly believe that Jesus is Lord, then they will do what Jesus teaches them to do. They will reflect the character of a true follower of Jesus. In a real sense, freedom in Christ requires responsibility and character. And that's the lesson I want our graduates to get. Now that you've obtained a level of freedom, think about the responsibility that comes with that freedom. There are some serious realities of freedom that we all must face. And in the text, Jesus gives an example about the realities of freedom by presenting two men who built their lives in very different ways. Let's look at what Jesus teaches more closely. The first thing we notice is the two men are given the freedom to choose. Both men want to build a house. Neither is told how to build, and neither man is told what materials to use. Each man has the freedom to build as he chooses. And so we have the freedom to choose. So one man builds on a rock. The other man builds on the dirt ground. This is an important point. Each man is free to build. Each man is free to decide how to build. When we graduate from school, we too are given a level of freedom. We are free to decide how we're going to shape our lives. We are free to choose the foundation upon which to build our lives. No one stands over us to force us to make the right choices. The decisions are in our hands. Yes, freedom is great, but freedom demands choices. When my daughter, and I've told you this before, Ebenezer, when my daughter Regine was in high school, I taught her a lesson about freedom and choices. One winter day in Illinois, it was about 20 degrees outside, but the sun was shining brightly. It was a beautiful, cold, and crisp winter day. So Regine prepares to go to school and approaches the door without a winter coat. And I said to her, "Aren't you going to wear your coat? It's cold outside." And she said to me, "No, I'm fine." And I could have said, "Regine, go put your coat on." Instead, I said, "Okay." And what does she do? She walks out and heads to school like a free teenager. And about 5 minutes later, she returns shivering from the cold and gets her coat. Freedom leads to choices, and we have the freedom to choose. Another thing that the text teaches is that storms are inevitable.
That's right.
While we have the freedom to choose, there is at least one thing that we don't get to choose, whether we will face storms.
Right.
The storms of life are inevitable. In the text, both men build a house as they choose. Both men select their own building materials, and both choose a foundation. But the other thing is, both houses face storms. In Luke's version of this story, the storms are torrential rain and flooding. But in Matthew's account of this story, the storms are wind, rain, and flooding. Both houses face storms, and the men don't get to choose their storms. We know storms are coming, beloved, but you don't get to choose your storms. Storms are inevitable. You see, the elements, wind, rain, and fire, also have freedom. The elements don't discriminate. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live. It doesn't matter whether you graduate at the top of your class or at the bottom of your class. You will face some storms. And one thing about storms is they will not send you a text message and let you know they're on the way. They don't let you know you're coming. And Jesus teaches in this story that even the faithful disciples will face storms. The disciples who build well will face storms, and the disciples who build poorly will also face storms. Storms will come, and storms will test us, and they will test to see the kind of life we build. This coronavirus is a storm. It has shut things down in just about every country and in every neighborhood. 2020 graduates have been impacted by this storm. Classes have been canceled. Schools have been closed. Sports activities have been canceled. And graduation ceremonies have been canceled. This storm has impacted students and graduates all over the world and across our country. And I tell you, the coronavirus did not discriminate. It's unusual, but it has happened, didn't it? These storms are inevitable. Let that be a lesson for you. You can be doing well. You can have the world as your oyster, and a storm will come rolling in and turn everything upside down. Henry Longfellow, in his poem, The Rainy Day, writes, "The day is cold and dark and dreary. It rains, and the wind is never weary. The vine still clings to the moldering wall, but at every gust the dead leaves fall, and the day is dark and dreary." And then he says, "My life is cold and dark and dreary. It rains, and the wind is never weary. My thoughts still cling to the moldering past, but the hopes of youth fall thick in the blast, and the days are dark and dreary." But I like this part. He says, "Be still, sad heart, and cease repining. Behind the clouds is the sun still shining. Thy fate is the common fate of all. Into each light some rain must fall. Some days must be dark and dreary." Beloved, we are given the freedom to choose, to build our lives as we desire. But we have the reality that the storms are inevitable. And therefore, The best advice is the advice that Roman gave us earlier. We must build a life that will last. This story shares Jesus teaching another powerful reality about freedom. If we are free to build, then we must build a life that will last. Graduates, if you want to succeed, then your actions must align with your objectives. Yeah. In the story, each man builds a house, but how they build is different. The text says in verse 48, they are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock, so that one man takes the time and effort to dig down deep enough to hit the bedrock. He builds his house upon a rock deep in the earth. His action suggests that he wants to build a house to last. If you want your life to last, beloved, you must put in the effort to build it well. But look at what the other man does. The text says, but the one who hears my word and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. So this other man uses his freedom just to do enough to get by. He builds on the ground without a solid foundation. He doesn't put in the time. He doesn't put in the effort like the first man. Longfellow also says, the heights by great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night. This man who built his house on a rock was toiling longer than the man who built it just on the dirt ground. Some folk put in more time and effort, and that's why they succeed. That's Jesus' point in this passage. True discipleship is not just about what you say, calling Jesus Lord. True discipleship is about what you do. You must live what you confess. And so, graduates, you are free right now, but the choices you make will determine what your future will be. Build a life that will last. Build a life upon the solid values you've been shown and taught. Build your life with hard work, consistent study, good habits, and build your life upon your faith in God. There are many examples of persons in Ebenezer Third Baptist Church who have accomplished a lot, but they didn't make those accomplishments by sitting down and doing nothing. They made those accomplishments by digging deep enough to build a life that will last. One of the members of the class of 2020 has made history. Nicholas Johnson, born in Montreal, Canada, with parents from the Bahamas and Jamaica, majoring in operations research and financial engineering, has been named valedictorian of Princeton University's class of 2020. He's the first black valedictorian in the school's 274-year history. Johnson says it feels empowering being Princeton's first black valedictorian, holds special significance to me, particularly given Princeton's historical ties to the institution of slavery. Johnson's senior thesis focused on developing algorithms to design a community-based preventative health intervention to decrease obesity in Canada. And look at him. In the fall, Nicholas Johnson will begin his PhD studies in operations research at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Amen. Come on, somebody. Sounds like somebody dug deep and built his house on a stone. About 9% of Princeton's 2020 undergraduate population is black. Only 9%. But this black brother was the first in his class, in the class of 2020. You must work to find the kind of life and world you want. And I guarantee that if you put in the effort, nothing can stop you. If you dig deep and work hard, life will lift you from any situation and lead you to your dreams. It doesn't matter what you don't have. It doesn't matter how many wrong things have occurred in your life. It doesn't matter what folk have said about you, what they've said about how you look, what they've said about your hair texture, what they've said about what neighborhood you've come from. It doesn't matter what has happened. God can change your life if you dig down deep and work hard. Build well and do well, and you will succeed and be a blessing. And I tell you, beloved, when you work towards your goals and achieve and try to be the best that you can be, God will open doors for you. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, if a man can write a better book or preach a better sermon or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods, the world will make a beaten path to his door. Folk will come running for what you have if you work hard and you build well. I end with this poem that's often was quoted by the late Dr. Martin Luther King. Be the best of whatever you are. You can't be a pine on the top of the hill. Just be a shrub in the valley. But be the best little shrub on the side of the rill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. And another excerpt is, if you can't be a highway, then just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. Mm-hmm. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. And that's my message. Not only should you build a life that will last, but go out there, grab the world, and be the best of whatever you are. God bless you, beloved. You want to extend the invitation? Christian discipleship. When you watch that young man, Roman, give his lay message today, Roman said that he learned that his faith in God could sustain him. That young man learned that through the difficulties of life, he could go to God. And we thank God for it. And you can as well. You can give your life to Christ. Beloved, I'm not here to tell you that being a Christian will take all your problems away and make everything bright, shining, and rosy. But I am here to tell you that with God in your life, you can make it. And with God on your side, you can achieve whatever you want to achieve. And so we offer Christ to you today and extend the invitation. You can call our church. You can visit our website. You can speak to one of our ministers and give your life to Christ. He will give you a brand new life.